But perhaps that was part of the curse as well. If Stanley and his father weren't always hopeful, then it wouldn't hurt so much every time their hopes were crushed. "Not every Stanley Yelnats has been a failure," Stanley's mother often pointed out, whenever Stanley or his father became so discouraged that they actually started to believe in the curse. The first Stanley Yelnats, Stanley's great-grandfather, had made a fortune in the stock market. He couldn't have been too unlucky. At such times, she neglected to mention the bad luck that befell the first Stanley Yelnats. He lost his entire fortune when he was moving from New York to California. His stagecoach was robbed by the outlaw Kissin' Kate Barlow. If it weren't for that, Stanley's family would now be living in a mansion on a beach in California. Instead, they were crammed in a tiny apartment that smelled of burning rubber and foot odor. If only, if only. The apartment smelled the way it did because Stanley's father was trying to invent a way to recycle old sneakers.
"The first person who finds a use for old sneakers," he said, "will be a very rich man."
It was this latest project that led to Stanley's arrest. The bus ride became increasingly bumpy because the road was no longer paved. Actually, Stanley had been impressed when he first found out that his great-grandfather was robbed by Kissin' Kate Barlow. True, he would have preferred living on the beach in California, but it was still kind of cool to have someone in your family robbed by a famous outlaw. Kate Barlow didn't actually kiss Stanley's great-grandfather. That would have been really cool, but she only kissed the men she killed. Instead, she robbed him and left him stranded in the middle of the desert. "He was lucky to have survived," Stanley's mother was quick to point out. The bus was slowing down. The guard grunted as he stretched his arms.
"Welcome to Camp Green Lake," said the driver.
Stanley looked out the dirty window. He couldn't see a lake, and hardly anything was green. Chapter 4. Stanley felt somewhat dazed as the guard unlocked his handcuffs and let him off the bus. He'd been on the bus for over 8 hours.
"Be careful," the bus driver said as Stanley walked down the steps.
Stanley wasn't sure if the bus driver meant for him to be careful going down the steps, or if he was telling him to be careful at Camp Green Lake. "Thanks for the ride," he said. His mouth was dry and his throat hurt. He stepped onto the hard, dry dirt. There was a band of sweat around his wrist where the handcuff had been. The land was barren and desolate. He could see a few run-down buildings and some tents. Farther away, there was a cabin beneath two tall trees. Those two trees were the only plant life he could see. There weren't even weeds. The guard led Stanley to a small building. A sign on front said, "You are entering Camp Green Lake Juvenile Correctional Facility." Next to it was another sign which declared that it was a violation of the Texas Penal Code to bring guns, explosives, weapons, drugs, or alcohol onto the premises. As Stanley read the sign, he couldn't help but think, well, duh. The guard led Stanley into the building, where he felt the welcome relief of air conditioning. A man was sitting with his feet up on a desk. He turned his head when Stanley and the guard entered, but otherwise didn't move. Even though he was inside, he wore sunglasses and a cowboy hat. He also held a can of soda, and the sight of it made Stanley even more aware of his own thirst. He waited while the bus guard gave the man some papers to sign.
"That's a lot of sunflower seeds," the bus guard said.
Stanley noticed a burlap sack filled with sunflower seeds on the floor next to the desk.
"I quit smoking last month," said the man in the cowboy hat.
He had a tattoo of a rattlesnake on his arm, and as he signed his name, the snake's rattle seemed to wiggle.
"I used to smoke a pack a day. Now I eat a sack of these every week,"
the guard laughed. There must have been a small refrigerator behind his desk, because the man in the cowboy hat produced two more cans of soda. For a second, Stanley hoped that one might be for him, but the man gave one to the guard and said the other was for the driver.
"9 hours here, now 9 hours back," the guard grumbled. "What a day."
Stanley thought about the long, miserable bus ride and felt a little sorry for the guard and the bus driver. The man in the cowboy hat spit sunflower seed shells into a waste paper basket. Then he walked around the desk to Stanley.
"My name is Mr. Sir," he said. "Whenever you speak to me, you must call me by my name. Is that clear?"
Stanley hesitated. Yes, Mr. Sir," he said, though he couldn't imagine that was really the man's name.
"You're not in the Girl Scouts anymore," Mr. Sir said.
Stanley had to remove his clothes in front of Mr. Sir, who made sure he wasn't hiding anything. He was then given two sets of clothes and a towel. Each set consisted of a long-sleeve orange jumpsuit, an orange t-shirt, and yellow socks. Stanley wasn't sure if the socks had been yellow originally. He was also given white sneakers, an orange cap, and a canteen made of heavy plastic, which unfortunately was empty. The cap had a piece of cloth sewn on the back of it for neck protection. Stanley got dressed. The clothes smelled like soap. Mr. Sir told him he should wear one set to work in and one set for relaxation. Laundry was done every 3 days. On that day, his work clothes would be washed. Then the other set would become his work clothes, and he would get clean clothes to wear while resting.
"You are to dig one hole each day, including Saturdays and Sundays. Each hole must be 5 feet deep and 5 feet across in every direction. Your shovel is your measuring stick. Breakfast is served at 4:30.
Stanley must have looked surprised, because Mr. Sir went on to explain that they started early to avoid the hottest part of the day.
"No one's going to babysit you," he added. "The longer it takes you to dig, the longer you'll be out in the sun. And if you dig up anything interesting, you are to report it to me or any other counselor. When you finish, the rest of the day is yours."
Stanley nodded to show he understood.
"This isn't a Girl Scout camp," said Mr. Sir.